Judges chapter 16, and we want to consider the same verse that we looked at last Sabbath morning. It's there, verse 4, that first verse we read this morning. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The last Lord's Day morning, we considered Samson and his love for this woman, Delilah. We pointed out that at no time do we read that Samson loved the Lord, or do we read of Samson's love for the Lord. But we certainly read of Samson's love for this wicked and ungodly woman. We pointed out that he met her, or loved her, in the valley of Sorek. Sorek means the valley of vineyards. And as a Nazarite, he should never have been in the valley of vineyards. And it was there that he met this woman and fell in love with her. And notice not only the place, but the person. For of the three women that Samson involved himself with, this woman, Delilah, is the only one who is named. She was a wicked individual, and yet Samson loved her. Just like sinners, they love the thing that is unclean. Love that which is wicked. And love that which will be the ruination of them. Still, they love those things. Even as Samson loved Delilah. Delilah had a plan to find out what was the secret of Samson's strength. It was a subtle plan, because she went out to entice Samson, as indeed the first woman that Samson was involved with used the same ploy. She sought to entice Samson to find out the answer to the riddle. Now Delilah uses the same plan. Wanted to entice Samson, find out the secret of his strength. The devil will always use the same bait and same plan that he uses to trip up and bring about the ruination of individuals. If it worked once, he'll use it again. If it worked again, he'll use it over and over again. It was a subtle plan, it was a simple plan. She was to prevail against him, find out where his strength lay, that it might be taken away so that she could bind him and he could be afflicted. That was it. Simple plan to ruin Samson. Devil's plan, just the same, just as simple. Leads us into temptation that he might bring about our ruin. But then there was a price. The Philistine lords promised to give Delilah money, 1,100 pieces of silver each, if she found out and discovered the secret of Samson's strength. And this woman, who was loved by Samson, was prepared to betray him for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. We see that in the life of Judas, his love of money, and all the evil deeds that he committed in betraying the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. Delilah had a love of money and was prepared to betray the man who said he loved her. Let us never develop this love of money. If the Lord is pleased to prosper us, we'll bless the Lord for it. But let us not develop a love of money, for it's the root of all evil. Let us rather, like Moses, esteem the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Hebrews 11, verse 26. That now leads us this morning, after considering Samson and his love, we consider now Samson and his lies. For Samson the Nazarite, this passage of Scripture makes very sad reading indeed. It makes sad reading because we see a man who vowed before God that he would live the life of a Nazarite. That he would live a life of holiness. That he would live a life of separation from all that was evil. He made a vow. And as we read in the 5th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, it's far better not to make a vow at all than to vow and not keep it. Have we ever made a vow before God? Can you think of any vow that you made before God? God being your witness. Have you kept that vow? Samson didn't keep his vow. You notice, first of all, regarding Samson's lies, the request that came to him from Delilah. When asked about the secret of his strength on 3 occasions, not once, not twice, but 3 times, Samson lied. It's the old, old story, isn't it? When you lie the first time, it's easier to lie the second time, and easier still the third time. Samson lied 3 times. Verse 7, Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak. Be as another man. That wasn't the truth. You look at verse 11. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. That wasn't the truth. And then he said that if his hair was tied, in verse 13, and Delilah said unto him, Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherein thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. He lied again. That wasn't the secret of his strength at all. Do you see what's happening to Samson? First of all, we read about the sin of his eyes. He saw a woman in Timnath. He saw the harlot. and committed the great sin with her. Now it has gone from the sin of the eyes to the sin of the tongue. Now he's lying. If sin, you see, is not checked, it will lead a man into other sins. And the reason for the lies that Samson told to Delilah, they had to do with finding out, discovering the secret of his great strength. You see, this was a mystery to the Philistines. They heard about him slaying 1,000 of them, but nothing in his hand but the jawbone of an ass. And no doubt it was the talk among the Philistines, how this man Samson was able to do this. What was the secret of his strength? It was a mystery. He had already slain 30 Philistines single-handedly. He had already carried the gates and the posts and bars and all away from the city. This great strength of Samson was a mystery that they couldn't fathom and they couldn't understand. And I'll tell you why they couldn't understand it, because it was a God-given strength. It was a God-given strength. We know that from chapter 14 and verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, that is the lion. Spirit of the Lord, there was the secret of his strength. Once again, verse 19 of chapter 14. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men. It was the secret of his strength, the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 15 and verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistine shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And it was then that he slew 1,000 Philistines. You see, believer, that's where the Spirit, or that's where the secret of his strength lay. It was a God-given strength, and a God-given strength that enabled him to overcome great odds. And so it is today. The ungodly do not understand the strength of the Christian. I'm not so much talking about his or her physical strength, but the strength they're able to demonstrate in times of sorrow, in times of sickness. And the ungodly look upon the Christian and see how the Christian can bear up in times of great sorrow, and how they can bear up under the heavy cross of sickness. It's a mystery to them. They can't understand how the Christian can remain calm and peaceful under such circumstances. But then, this is the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Passes all understanding. When they see the Christian, that Christian who has no desire for drinking, for going to parties and going to clubs, they can't understand that Christian. Say, well, how do you enjoy yourself? You must live a very miserable life. If you don't do these things, you see, it's a mystery to them. They can't understand how a Christian can enjoy life without partaking and be a partaker of the unwholesome and ungodly things and wicked things of the world. They can't understand it. It's a mystery. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness in a Christian is something that the worldly person cannot understand. And where Paul tells us why they can't understand it. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, the ungodly man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The ungodly cannot understand the spiritual things, can understand the mystery of godliness as it is revealed in the child of God. That's the way it should be. Believer, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to be a mystery to the ungodly. Because we belong to the Lord. We're separated unto the Lord. We don't need the things of the world. Christ is our life. Christ is our joy. Christ is our everything. We have the request. Then you have the reason. Delilah actually told Samson the reason why she wanted to discover the secret of his great strength. Verse 6. To me, this is an amazing thing. If you look there in verse 6 of chapter 16, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. But then she went on to say, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Why, she wasn't making any bones about it. She'll just come right out into the open. Samson, we want to bind you and we want to afflict you. And lo and behold, she tells them that. Verse 10, Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me, wherewith thou mightest be bound. She didn't even mention his strength. She gets right to the point. We want to bind you, Samson. We want to afflict you, Samson. And Samson went ahead. First of all, he lied. But Samson was fully aware of why Delilah wanted to know the secret of his strength. Samson was aware. The Philistines want to bind me and the Philistines want to afflict me. He wasn't ignorant of that fact. Just as you and I are not ignorant of the fact that the devil wants to bind you and me. We have covered that in this series. He's the roaring lion. He wants to devour us. He wants to destroy us. We ought to be fully aware. Indeed, we are aware of the wiles and the craftiness of the devil. We know what his desire is. We're not ignorant of the fact that the devil wants to bind us. And he wants to afflict us. Why then would we reveal and surrender and give up the secret of our strength and our godliness? Why would we forfeit that? Why would Samson forfeit the secret of the strength? When he knew full well that the Philistines wanted to bind him and afflict him. But then you notice his reply. I wonder why when Delilah came to Samson and asked him about the secret of his strength. I wonder why Samson didn't tell her the truth the first time. I wonder why Samson didn't say to Delilah, "The secret of my strength is in the Lord. The strength that I have comes from God." That would have been the truth. He had a wonderful opportunity to witness for the God of Israel. "Delilah, you want to know the secret of my strength? My strength is in the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. That's where my strength lies." But he gave up that opportunity. And of course, believer, when you think of it, Samson couldn't very well say anything about the Lord, could he? He couldn't very well speak for the Lord. He wouldn't have been a very good witness for the Lord. He had committed a sin with a harlot. No point talking about the Lord. He was in the house of Delilah, another woman who many believe was a harlot. How could he witness for the Lord in the house of Delilah? Couldn't do it. It's difficult to be an effective witness for the Lord if we live like the world. It was like Lot. Whenever the angels were sent to warn Lot of the coming judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, they find Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when they told Lot what was going to take place, Lot was to go around this family and tell them God's judgment is coming. And when Lot went to his sons-in-law, they laughed at him. They laughed at him. He seemed as low as one who mocked them. And you can just imagine what they were saying amongst themselves. "Who's this man coming and telling us about the judgment of God? Who's this man coming and witnessing to us about the God of Israel, when all the while he was sitting in the seat of Sodom?" Where's the separation? Where was his witness for the Lord then? You see, Lot had lost his testimony. How could he talk about to his sons-in-law about the Lord? You know, whenever we lose our testimony, how can we talk to our loved ones about the Lord? If there's no sign of us living for the Lord or walking with the Lord. Samson couldn't very well talk about the Lord in the house of Delilah. That's why he didn't say anything. In all probability, that's why he lied. Look at the folly of Samson. We see that Samson was aware of the intentions of the Philistines, for he says in verse 7, "And Samson said unto her, if they bind me," he's talking about the Philistines. He's saying, if the Philistines bind me, so he's fully aware of what's going on. "With 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Again, it's the same thing in verse 11. "If they bind me." Was this not folly on Samson's part? Most assuredly it was. Even though Samson had conquered with the Lord's help, of course, conquered the Philistines before, that did not give him the right or the license to fool around with the Philistines now. It didn't give him the license to tempt them or taunt them. Didn't give him the right to trifle with sin. It didn't give him the right to trifle with the Philistines. Dear Christian, because the Lord has given you and I the victory over sin in the past, that doesn't give us the license to trifle with sin now. Remember, we're separated unto the Lord. And we know what the Lord's about, or we know what the devil is about. Samson knew what the Philistines were about. He said, if they bind me. You see, believer, that's what happens. When we trifle with sin, sin binds us. Sin binds us. You know it when you come to the prayer meeting. You know it when you pray. How unconfessed sin will bind you. Takes away your liberty. You can't pray. You're bound. There's no liberty in prayer until that unconfessed sin is put under the blood. It binds us in our witness. You know that if there's unconfessed sin in your life, you're not going to be an effective witness for the Lord. Indeed, you'll feel in your own heart, I can't very well witness, I can't very well talk about the Lord when I know I'm not right with God. As we read in the book of Proverbs, how can I tell someone else about how to keep their vineyard if I haven't kept my own vineyard? So it was with Samson. His folly, his falsehood. What did Delilah say to him in verse 10? "And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies." That's some witness for a Nazarite, isn't it? Lying to the ungodly. And again, verse 13, Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies." See, really, Samson had no testimony at all. Zero. But then when you think of it, this period in Samson's life was a whole big lie. He was living a lie. He was not only telling lies, he was living a lie. He was this Nazarite, but he wasn't living as a Nazarite. He had the appearance of the Nazarite. 7 long locks of hair. He had the appearance of a Nazarite, but he wasn't living like a Nazarite. He was living a lie. It was the church in Ephesus, and the believers there that were living a lie. Because the Lord commended them for what they were doing. And all the appearance of a church that was on fire for God. But then the Lord said, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. They had the outward appearance that everything was well. But the Lord is the one who knows the heart. And the Lord said to the believers at Ephesus, thou hast left thy first love. You used to love me, but you don't love me anymore. You used to have a warm, fervent love for me, but your love has now grown cold. You don't love me. The church had left its first love. It's easy to keep up the outward appearance. But have we left our first love? He purposely chose that psalm this morning, Psalm 116a. I love the Lord. You say that with hand on heart. You say, I love the Lord. Because the Lord knows your heart. You'll notice as Samson went on lying, telling these stories to Delilah, he got nearer and nearer and nearer the truth. His 7 long locks of hair were the symbol of his strength. And whenever Delilah asked him what was the secret of his strength for the 3rd time, he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. He's getting nearer the truth now. He really is playing with fire. He's getting nearer to the fire with every reply. And so it is. When we begin to stray from the Lord, we get further and further away. And nearer to losing our strength and our power. Our God-given strength and our God-given power. Until we get to that place that Samson spoke about, where we become like any other man. No difference between us and the world. No difference. Then you have the facts about Samson. In his dealings with Delilah, there was one occasion when he actually did tell the truth. Verse 17. And he told her all his heart. said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The only time he spoke to Delilah about him being a Nazarite. I'm sure she didn't think a great deal of him. Obviously not when she sold him and betrayed him for that money that was given to her. And here you have Samson revealing a fact. He knew that once the symbol of his strength was removed, he would lose that strength and he would lose his power and to become just like any other man. His seven long locks of hair were marks of his separation. But once he lost the marks of his separation, he became like any other man. And believer, when you and I lose the marks of our separation, we're called out, remember, we're called out of the world. We're called out of the world. We're separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not off the world. But when we lose the marks of our separation, then we just become like the world. We're no different. We're supposed to be different. But lose the mark of your separation. And just become like the world. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, do I belong to the Lord or not? Am I saved or not? Where do I stand with God? When we lose the power of the Spirit, then we become just like other men. You see, there's only one man that we want to be like. We don't want to be like other men. We want to be like the God-man. We want to be like Jesus Christ, who was holy, who was harmless, who was undefiled, who was separate from sinners. We want to be like Jesus Christ, the one who said he was meek and lowly of heart. That's who we want to be like. We don't want to be like other men. And we can only be like Christ if we know him and live a separated life. Samson had lost the marks of a separation. And now you have Samson and his lingering. Samson and his love. Samson and his lies. Samson and his lingering. Having entered the house of Delilah, of course he shouldn't have been there, but having entered the house of Delilah, Samson lingered there. First of all, he lingered with his company. He had no business being in the house of Delilah, never mind lingering there. And he and Delilah were not the only ones in the house. As we see from verse 9, and there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. Philistines were in the house. And there's Samson in the midst of all these enemies. The Delilah was his enemy. The Philistines were his enemies. And there's Samson. And he's lingering there. He's with the wrong crowd. He's in the wrong company. Samson, it was time to get out. You made a mistake in going. Samson, it's time to get out. As Christians, we always need to be careful of our company. The company that we keep. Proverbs 22. There we read in Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Make no friendship with an angry man. You can substitute those words with other words. Make no friendship with the ungodly. Make no friendship with the wicked man. Why? Because it's not but too long before you learn his ways. You know what the old saying is? You lie down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. You keep company with the wicked, the ungodly, you'll soon learn their ways. You'll learn their language. You'll adopt their attitude and how they look at things. Remember, we're to be different. We're not to be like other men. Not that we're any better or superior. But we're the Lord's. We're to be like him. And there is no man like Christ. He lingered with his company. He lingered with her complaints. And that's putting it politely. She asked him once. She asked him twice. She asked him the third time. And she asked him again. And she went on asking. You know what you feel like saying to Samson? What are you doing there? If this woman continually complains and complains and complains, Samson, what are you doing there? Why do you linger there? Verse 10, Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me. Verse 13, Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. Verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me, told me lies. Verse 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. He lingered with her complaints. She just kept at him and at him and at him and at him. Isn't it interesting, it says here, that it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed. You say again, Samson, well then why did you stay? Why did you stay, Samson, if you were so vexed? No time to get out. And go back to the house where you should be. Does it not remind you of Lot? Once again, we think of Lot sitting there in the seat of Sodom, and he sees all the uncleanness and the filth that's going on around him. The filthy behavior of the Sodomites, and we're told that his righteous soul was vexed. Because, Lot, what were you doing there? If it vexed you so much, why were you there? Samson, if you were vexed so much, why were you there? Why would we, you and I, continue living a life and living in a way that vexes us? Dabbling in sin that vexes us, that troubles our conscience. We know that it grieves the Lord. He lingered with his company and he lingered with her complaints. And he lingered until he confessed and told Delilah, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and shall become weak and be like any other man." It was only inevitable. That's what the outcome would be. It was inevitable. When we tarry on the edge of the world, we trifle with sin, it's only a matter of time before we lose our testimony, lose our love for the Lord, lose our zeal for the things of God, lose our interest in the Word of God, lose our interest in the house of God. It's only a matter of time. And then you become like any other man. Ordinary man in the street has no time for the house of God, no time for the Bible, no time for prayer, no time for holy things. We don't want to be like that, do we? We're to be different. We're to be like the Lord. That is not surrender. That power, that strength that comes from God. But let us live for the Lord. Live for Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we come again to thee in the Savior's precious name. Lord, we thank thee for the many lessons that are to be learned from the life of Samson. O God, help us to give heed to them. Help us to give attention to them. Help us, Lord, not to turn a deaf ear. Set them to one side as though they don't concern us. For as thy word tells us, these things are written for our learning. And Lord, we know it's not a pleasant thing to look into the life of a man who had fallen so far. Yet, Lord, we must learn from Samson's mistakes and his sins. Lord, bless the word to our hearts. Bless us now as we gather around the table, as we remember the Savior, the one indeed who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. For any, Lord, who are not able to stay, grant them traveling mercy. And return us, Lord, tonight, that, O Lord, we'll come tonight to learn more of the Savior. For we ask these things in the Lord's name and for His glory. Amen.